Go with me to Matthew chapter 11 as we continue this Follow Me series. We've been walking through the book of Matthew, not only on Sunday, but in our small groups throughout the week. And we've learned about Jesus calling his disciples and starting his ministry and going from city to city, healing and preaching the word. And in Matthew 11, we find him in a peculiar situation because though many miracles and messages have been witnessed and heard, we find Jesus experiencing the challenges of being persecuted and rejected. No matter how good he is, no matter how miraculous his ministry is, there are people who still persecute and reject him. In the beginning of the chapter, it was an unusual person who was questioning him. It was John the Baptist, the brother that paved the way for Jesus. And his whole ministry was preparing people for Jesus to come. Even John the Baptist asked, "Are you really the Messiah? Or should we look for another?" So you can imagine, in the middle of his ministry, all that Jesus was dealing with. Rejection, persecution, people doubting him. But then he gives a prayer that the scriptures call the prayer of thanksgiving. In the middle of the chaos, in the middle of all the things he was dealing with, he prayed to the Lord. In verse 25, Matthew 11, if you're there, say, "You're." Verse 25 says, "And at that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you." Somebody say, "Thank you." Sometimes that's a good enough prayer by itself. He said, "Thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then Jesus said, this is going to encourage somebody in the room, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Is that anybody in the room right now? And Jesus says, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Last verse, "For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that we get to look into a very burdensome moment in your life and ministry, and how even though you were being persecuted and rejected and being misunderstood, you stopped everything and just gave the Lord thanks. And you said, "God, even though they don't understand, I believe that you and I are on the same page when it comes to the will of your life. And I have disciples who are dealing with the same things. They are burdened, they're tired, they're laboring. And I want to offer them the gift of rest." So, dear Heavenly Father, I pray for someone in this room, in this Thanksgiving after season, all the things that we prayed for and asked for. Above all, Lord, we pray for rest in our relationship with you. Life can be so burdensome. Our lives can be so heavy. And Jesus understands that. And there's someone in this room today who needs to receive the gift of rest. Dear Heavenly Father, bless my words. Remove me out of the way and let your Holy Spirit speak. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say amen. All right, you may take a seat all over the building. This journey that we call life is complicated. What we have all come to realize about life is that no matter how much you plan and prepare, you can't avoid the ups and downs of life. We as followers of Christ must always strive to understand what is and isn't the will of God for our lives. Because even as we go through the ups and downs, In many ways, you can misunderstand what God is doing in your life if you're not constantly seeking him to reveal his will to you. Because there are things that we go through that are just occurrences in life. But then there are things that the Lord is doing in our lives that actually align with the ministry and call of our lives. And we would love for all those things to be pleasant. But God also often uses the challenging aspects of our lives to do his ministry. We find Jesus in his ups and downs in his life. The scripture says he had been teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom from city to city. He even went back to his hometown and proclaimed the gospel. And it says, when he went back to his hometown, he had never experienced more rejection in any other city than his very own hometown. But he continued to preach, and people continued to be healed, and miracles continued to happen, and people continued to witness these things. But still, people still misunderstood him, rejected him, and persecuted him. I found it very touching that at the beginning of chapter 11, it was John the Baptist who was questioning whether Jesus was the Messiah. If anybody should be sure of Jesus being the Messiah, it should be John the Baptist. His whole ministry was paving the way for Jesus. When Jesus came, John humbled himself because he believed that Jesus was the one that everyone was waiting for. But not in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew 11, John sends his disciples to Jesus and says, "Are you the Messiah, or should we search for another?" I can only imagine what Jesus may have been feeling in that moment, that the people closest to him were questioning and doubting him. And then he even noticed that as he was sending out his disciples, they were dealing with hardships because of their connection to him. Many people did not understand what God was doing through his ministry, and they chose to evaluate things through human understanding. But Jesus, right after reflecting on all these things, he stopped and he gave thanks to his Father. Do I have anybody in the room where you've been in a life situation where you really just have one question to God? What is really going on right now? What is this? Especially when you believe you're doing what he's called you to do. I'm living for you. I'm giving my time, my efforts. I'm praying to you. I'm giving my life to you. But life continues to give me ups and downs. And people who I thought would believe in me and support me and encourage me, those are the very ones who I receive rejection and doubt from. And what we learn from Jesus in this moment is, as you serve him, as you live this life, there will be times where you have to simply lean back into him for affirmation that you're on the right path. Let me just encourage you right now. Everybody's not going to understand God's will for your life. Not everybody's going to be able to affirm what God is doing. Why? Because God does peculiar things through the people that he serves. It's not always going to make sense to everybody else. The decisions you make, the moves you make, the people you associate with, the things you invest in. Not everybody's going to understand God's will for your life. But just like Jesus, we have to be able to stop and reconnect with the one who we believe is leading us in the first place. Look back at verse 25. I want to give just 2 points today because we don't have a lot of time. But my first point, as Jesus reflects, he thanks God. This is crazy. For the fact that people don't understand God's will for his life. It's a very weird thing to thank God for. I've never thanked God like, "Hey, God, thank you for allowing people to misunderstand me. Thank you for allowing people to reject me. Thank you for people not being able to affirm what I'm doing with my life." Never have I thanked God for that. But look at what Jesus says in verse 25. He says, and at that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. He says, "Oh, Father," pause. He started his prayer with acknowledging the relationship that he had with God. He recognized that he was the Son, and he was speaking to his Father. Jesus starts by calling God Father. That's very important because when we start our prayers, oftentimes we don't acknowledge the intimate relationship that we have with the person we're talking to. You're not just talking to someone far off in the sky who's looking down and not communing and walking with you. You're talking to your Father, someone who intimately knows and loves you, especially in moments where you feel confused and misunderstood. Jesus says, "Oh, Father." And then after he calls him Father, look what he calls him. He says, "Lord." So first and foremost, he acknowledges their relationship, and then he acknowledges God's authority over his situation. Oh, I'm going to pause right there. Y'all missed it. Before he even really got into his prayer, his acknowledgement of God said everything that we needed to know. Oh, Father, we have a relationship. Lord, you're in control of everything. How you acknowledge God says a lot about how you view your situation. I'm talking to my dad, but my dad is also in control of everything. I'm talking to my father, and I'm surprised about what's going on in my life, but he isn't surprised because my father is Lord and all-knowing. Is this encouraging somebody in the room? He says, God, I know who you are to me, and I know that you are in control. Jesus knows that his ministry is pleasing to his Father, because before he started his ministry, the Father affirmed him and said, I'm well pleased with you. So before he was rejected, he was accepted. And I want to encourage all of you, every believer, every son, every daughter, before you were rejected, you were accepted. God created you in his image, and when you gave your life to him, he accepted you, and he is pleased with you. Not because of anything you've done, but because you accept the free gift that comes from what Jesus did. Somebody say amen. Amen. But what Jesus is actually thanking God for is this gift. Write this down. This is the first point. The gift of revelation. The gift of revelation. He was thanking God that there were some people who misunderstood him, but he only was thanking God for that because he understood that that understanding comes from revelation. We will always misunderstand the will of God when all we have is information. God shows himself through revelation. Randall, I got to play that back on replay. Nobel, I got to play that back on replay. You will always misunderstand God's will for your life if all you have is information. Because God doesn't reveal himself solely through information. God reveals himself through revelation. Look at what Jesus says. Look at what Jesus says. He says, you've hid things from those who think they're wise and clever, but you've revealed them to those who are childlike. So God has a will that he reveals to certain people. And Jesus is saying, those who think they're wise, those who think they got it all together, those who think they're clever, those who think they're in control and you're not Lord, you don't reveal yourselves to them. But for those who are childlike, you reveal these things to them. An understanding of God's will cannot be achieved on a human level. God must bestow the gift of revelation to you. Jesus thanks God for choosing to reveal himself to people who aren't puffed up and consider themselves wise and clever, but he reveals himself to those who are childlike. Revelation in the Greek translates as to reveal what is hidden, to make plain what is immaterial or invisible. God's will for your life will not be understood just through human understanding. You have to seek him to reveal his will for your life. And Jesus understood that. So that's why when people rejected him and people questioned him, he didn't second guess the will on his life because God had already revealed it to him before they rejected him. And I wish that was the same with us because we love God's will for our life until it gets hard. Oh, we love God's will. We shout in church. We praise God. We love it. Until his will puts us in a situation that's uncomfortable, that leaves us misunderstood, And we have to separate ourselves from certain things. We have to discipline ourselves. It gets really tough when we have to accept his will. But I love what he says. He said, God reveals himself to those who are childlike. If you're taking notes, what that means is God reveals himself to believers who trust him the same way a child trusts their parent. That's why Jesus said, Father, when you're living this life and you're trying to figure out what God is doing, he'll reveal things to you. And if you need every answer to your question, it'll always be hard to obey. Oh, I'm gonna pause because that touches my heart, because I want every answer to these. God, I'll obey you, but can you answer this? He tells me something that he wants me to do, but I always have an interview before I do it. I'm like, God, that's great. Let me run through this real quick. But a good child, when their parent tells them what to do, even though they don't understand why, they trust that their parent knows better than them. A truly obedient child trusts their parent's wisdom over them. Me and my wife were flying home the other day from our Thanksgiving trip, and we were in our row, and me, I'm like Erykah Badu. I just need a window seat. Don't want nobody. Okay. All my holy people in the room, they don't listen. They just listen to gospel music. It's fine. But I got my window seat, and I love my window seat because I can easily just, if it's an hour, two-hour flight, I can easily just lean to the right and fall asleep. But on this flight, we just happened to sit a row in front of a mother who had a child who decided nobody's sleeping on this flight. Nobody. This is not your nap flight. This child could not understand why he had to sit down during the flight. So the whole time, it was just crying, temper tantrum, yelling. And all you heard the mom was saying was, everybody's sitting down. You have to sit down. But the child did not want to obey because they did not understand why they had to sit down. All you heard what the child was saying was, why? I don't want to. It's because they were leaning on their understanding. This is uncomfortable. I don't got no leg room. I don't know this person sitting next to me. This is weird. I want to stand up and walk around the plane. I want to do what I want to do. But the mother was saying, sitting down is the best thing for you to do in this situation. And it's weird that in that situation, it almost contradicts what Jesus said. Because in that situation, being childlike did not work out. And I wonder how many of us, sons of God, daughters of God, are that type of child where we're leaning on our own understanding and we're so frustrated and we're so uncomfortable and we're living a life of wrestling with God, but it's really not because life is so hard. It's because we don't want to accept the will for our lives in that situation. I don't want to sit down. I don't want to do this. God, why? Why do I have to do this? This doesn't fit. When we could just be the type of child that trust that our parents knows better than us. If the child would have sat down, everybody on the plane would have had a better experience. Oh, that's, wow, thank you, Lord. Their disobedience impacted everybody else's experience. Oh, Lord, show us how our obedience impacts everybody else. Lord, don't let my unwillingness to be uncomfortable block you from blessing those around me. Oh, in that situation, I was reminded of what Jesus was saying about us being childlike, but there's a certain child that he wants. He wants a child that doesn't think they're wise and know better than him, but he wants the child who will obey because they trust him. Look at verse 26. I'm trying to glide through these. I'm sorry. Yes, it says, Father, if it please you to do it this way. Watch what he says in verse 27. He says, my Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. This is really getting deep in Revelation right here. And then he says, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son. But then he said, and. Somebody said, and. He says, first, no one knows the Father like I do. And no one knows me like the Father. But then he says, I know the Father, and there's another group of people that also know the Father. He says, there's the people who the Son chooses to do what? Reveal him. The Son knows the Father knows the Son, and then there are people who also know the Father. And it's because Jesus revealed him to us. Oh, this gift of revelation. Watch this. Somebody take a note. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. And no one truly knows the Father except the Son. And then there's this special group, those who Jesus chooses to reveal him to. So not only do you need revelation to understand the will of the Father, you need Jesus to give you revelation in order to understand the Father. So you need Jesus to understand the will for your life, and you need Jesus to understand whose will it is. Jesus not only gives us salvation and relationship, but he also gives us the ability to understand who God is. You understand the Father because you're related to the Son. Some of y'all, you didn't go to your family's house. You went to a Friendsgiving, or you went to one of your other friend's family's house. And without the connection of your friend, you would not be at the table eating. You were able to commune with that family because of the connection with your friend. The same with God. We have relationship with God. We know him. We commune with him. But it's not because we just walked into the house and we're able to commune with the Father. It's because we know his Son. And because we have connection to his Son, we can fellowship with God, know God, and know his will for our lives. This is why it's so important for you to make your life about getting into a deeper relationship with the Son. Because if you don't understand your life and God's will for your life, it's because you're not leaning into the Son enough. Lean into Jesus. As we follow Jesus, our prayer should be that he reveals himself to us and that he shows our will, that he shows his will to us for our life. There is no such thing as a relationship with God or even a true understanding of God unless you receive it through Jesus. I'm going to say that one more time. There is no such thing as a relationship with God, the Father, or even a true understanding of God, the Father, unless you receive it through Jesus, the Son. It's all through Jesus. Jesus is the bridge between us and the Father. Jesus is the great reconciler. Jesus is the friend who invites us into his Father's house. And because we were invited in through Jesus, we get to know Jesus more, and then we also connect to the Creator who the will for our life we're trying to understand. Somebody say amen. I gotta move on. We only got a few more minutes. Second point comes from verse 28. We talked about this gift of revelation. And just really quick, I just want to pause and let you guys know that all throughout next year, we're going to be having corporate Bible studies every month. And we'll be able to go deeper into these type of concepts. I know I kind of glided through that, but I don't want you to miss this concept and this truth of revelation. We're going to have a whole corporate Bible study over the understanding of God's revelation. Main point number two, Jesus stops praying and thanking God for the gift of revelation, and then he offers us all a gift. And this is where I want to close us out, and we can pray together. Verse 28, Jesus says, after thanking God and he prayed, he then begins to preach to those who are around him. Verse 28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will, somebody say, I will give you rest. When Jesus says, I will, he's making a promise. He says, if you come to me with your burdens, if you come to me with all of your labor, if you come to me with what's heavy, I will give you rest. That's the second point. We talked about the gift of revelation. Write down the gift of rest. And in each verse, verse 28, verse 29, and verse 30, we see Jesus give a special invitation. In verse 28, the invitation is, come to me and I will give you rest. So he's essentially saying, don't deal with life's demands without me. I know life is heavy. I know it's burdensome, especially if you're following me. I know what comes with that, but I never called you to deal with life by yourself. He says, don't deal with these things without me. Give it all to me. When you deal with things, don't try to be like what I said before, the ones who think they're clever and wise, and try to figure it out on your own. The scripture says, take everything to the Lord in prayer. Jesus just exemplified that. When he had an opportunity to be stressed and feel rejected, he stopped and thanked God and prayed to him. And like us, he was dealing with the burdens of life. Verse 28 says, come to me and I will give you rest. Look at what verse 29 says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What is a yoke? A yoke, back in biblical times, would connect two animals together so that they could walk in the same direction. If I'm yoked to you, we're connected by the neck. So if I go left, this animal has to go left too. So there's no such thing as being yoked and not going the same direction. So Jesus says, before you make a move, bring your burdens to me and then take my yoke upon you. Why? Because you're about to make a decision and you need to know that your decision is following me. If you're yoked with Jesus, you won't be found going the direction he's not calling you to go. Isn't that most of our question? God, what should I do? Where should I go? What do you want me to do? But if you're yoked to him, you will always be found going where he wants you to go. Why? Because it's not your decision to move. I'm yoked to him, so he just moves and I go with him. I just follow his leading because I'm yoked to him. Look at what it says. And learn from me. Oh, this is the tough truth, but hear this. Your situation, though it's hard, the Lord often disguises his greatest lessons in hardships. So while you're taking his yoke, he wants you to be learning. He wants you to grow from what you're dealing with. He says, learn from me. And then this is what he says, learn. I'm gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In your hardship, when you take his yoke upon you, you are learning more about him because you're close to him. Verse 29, basically, he's saying, let me take the wheel and you sit in the passenger seat and learn from me. Then just rest knowing that I got you. A lot of us want to be like this with our life. We want to decide every turn signal. We want to decide everywhere we go. And we just want Jesus to be MapQuest or to be Google Maps or be our GPS. I want to drive. You just tell me where to go. When Jesus is saying, let me drive your life. And you sit in the passenger seat. Because when you're in the passenger seat, you just have to trust the driver. I don't know about you, but I'd rather Jesus be at the wheel of my life than me. I got my license when I was 15. I still don't know if I can really drive. Like, they need to check on me. But every time I've trusted Jesus with the will of my life, I've always ended up in the right destination, where he wants me to be, in the right time. Somebody say amen. Last one, and we're going to pray and get out of here. Verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus is saying, when you yoke yourself to me, it's easy to follow me. The closer you are to him, the easier it is to follow him. But he's not acting like the burden of following him is not hard. He's not saying being a Christian is easy, because he's not a man that he should lie. But look what he says. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Somebody write this down. Life is hard. We can just stop there. That's true. That's an amen right there. Life is hard, but it's lighter when you let Jesus carry it with you. He doesn't always promise to remove what's heavy. What he does promise is to carry it with you. Me and my wife, I told you guys a few weeks ago that, especially now that we just had our Thanksgiving meals, we said we were committed to going to the gym. Keep praying, because we still are working on that commitment. We haven't quite made it to the gym just yet. But I remember there was a time where I used to go to the gym all the time. And I was very consistent. And I remember hating it just as much as I hate it right now. Working out is not of the Lord, but he just gives us the strength to do it. And I just remember that with every time I made progress and stuff got easier, the next thing to do was to add more weight. Once the weight got easy, you add more. Ooh, somebody feels like that with their life right now. Every time I feel like I got it, every time I feel like it's easy, they add more. And that's how you get stronger. You don't get stronger by continuing to lift what's light. You get stronger by when what was heavy before gets light, you add more. But what I really remember was the reason I was able to be so consistent is because I never went to the gym by myself. It was always heavy. It was always hard. I always wanted to give up. I always did not want to do it. But it was better when I went with somebody. And when I was on the bench press and I was pressing my 250, when I was pressing, nobody believed that. Nobody did. Just go with me for the sake of the story. When I was pressing my 300, and everybody was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. When I was bench pressing this crazy weight, I was able to trust that I could continue to lift when I had a spotter. When I was lifting by myself, I wouldn't be comfortable lifting the heaviest weight. But I would be willing to lift the heavy weights when I had a spotter. Because if it ever got to the point where I was too weak and I couldn't continue to push and I wanted to give up and I feel like it was gonna weigh me down, I knew that I had somebody right there with their hands on the weight that I was lifting, and they would not let the weight weigh me down. And in many times I thought I was lifting it, but I realized my spotter was pulling it up with me. And there's somebody in this room and you're lifting the weights of life and you know it's heavy and it is a burden and it is hard. And Jesus is just saying, I'm waiting on you to let me carry it with you. I never said this life would be easy. I never said that I would remove all hardships. What I did say is that I'll walk with you, I'll carry it with you, and I will make your weight lighter. I need everybody in this room to stand up all over the room so we can get out of here. But Jesus, his promise is that rest will come when you allow him to carry your burdens with you. I want to give an invitation today, and I want to pray with somebody today who you hear this invitation, and this isn't mine, this is Jesus. I'm taking it straight from the scripture. Jesus said, I see the weight of life. I'm literally experiencing it as I'm a human. I have to stop and pray to the Father when things get heavy. So Jesus exemplified what it meant to pray to God when things got heavy. But then he extended the gift of rest. And that only comes with you coming and carrying your burdens to him and saying, God, life is hard. It's heavy. And I don't want to lift this by myself. I need you. I will be the child who stops trying to get every answer and figure it out and just trust you with my life. Lord, reveal to me your will. Lord, help me carry this weight. If you're not going to remove it, help me carry this. So today, we have two invitations. If you've never given your life to Christ and you don't know him to be this promise keeper who will give you rest, we would love to pray with you and let you know what it means to have a relationship with the Son, so you can have a relationship with the Father and have his will for your life revealed to you. Oh, I love that. But then there's somebody in this room, and just like the disciples Jesus was ministering to, you've been living life. You've been trying to please God. It's just been heavy. It's just hard. It's just burdensome. Life is life. And you just need to trust Jesus with your burdens and for his yoke to be upon you so he can lead you and he can guide your steps and you no longer have to be Lord of your life because you trust him that he's in control. Is there one today who needs prayer, who needs to come and lay your burdens before the Lord, who's tired of lifting life's weights by yourself? I'm going to do a corporate prayer, and then we're going to go on to worship. But at any time, if you need to come down and pray, we will be at the altar for you. So right where you are, because you know what it is. You know what the weight is. You know what you're dealing with. You know what is burdening you. You know what's stressing you. Get that thing on your mind. And as I pray, I want you, if you feel led, to bring those things to the altar. Right where you are, will you bow your heads with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that even as you were God wrapped in flesh in your ministry, the gospel doesn't leave out the times where you had burdens, the times where you felt rejected and persecuted, and the times you had to pause and just thank God and ask for his help. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your invitation to all of the people in this room, that if we're heavy, that if we're burdened, you will give us rest if we come to you. So dear Heavenly Father, as we continue to pray and worship, I pray that at least one today would ask, what must I do to be saved, to have a relationship with my Father? I want him to reveal his will for my life, and I really want that gift of revelation and rest. Dear God, we love you, and we thank you that even in the hardships, there's much that we can learn about you and your will. Dear God, we close this prayer celebrating for the person who's going to leave here a little bit lighter because they trusted in Jesus. It's in his matchless name we pray. Everyone say amen. Amen, amen, amen. We are at the altar. And if you need prayer, you can start to come now. Meet us at the altar. And for all of you who are staying, as we worship, even right where you are, you can start to release those things that are burdening your heart and burdening your mind. In Philippians, the scripture says, bring everything to Jesus in prayer. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So even right where you are, you can start to release those things to him. In this stressful season, there is rest available for the child of God. Hallelujah and amen.